You're listening to Potty Mouth Radio, the home of movies, music, television, and comedy.
And now, the hunt for the perfect album.
Hello, patrons, and welcome back to the hunt for the perfect album with B-Dizzle and Dave.
Hello.
And this week, we're talking an album that Dave gave me, which he thinks is perfect. Would you like to tell us a little bit about Lily Allen's It's Not Me, It's You?
I fucking love Lily Allen. I love everything about her. This mouthy little pommy chick who just does her own thing, doesn't give a fuck what people think of her. Oh, I love her. So I gave you her second album. I do like her first, but I think her second album is just a masterpiece. Yeah. She's done some music since, and then she veered off into fashion design for a while and then disappeared for a while. Then she married David Harbour and now they're just doing their domestic thing. But I gave you It's Not Me, It's You, her second album. I know you'd heard one song off it, but I don't think you'd heard anything else.
No, I hadn't. What you said. So I'm not all that familiar with Lily Allen, given that she's quite a big name. I feel like she kind of rose to prominence at a time when I was really not listening to new music.
There's some who'd say she's confident and outspoken, and there's some that just call her mouthy.
I
think she's better known than the overall success of her musical career would justify. I think in the UK she's just one of those people that's always in the tabloids and things. She had an ongoing feud with Katy Perry for a while.
I feel like that rings a bell. Yes.
Then I think she may have had a feud with Christina Aguilera as well.
Yeah, yes. But you're right, actually. She's more well-known probably than her music is. Katy Perry, I could name 10, 15 songs, probably off the top of my head. Lily Allen, really probably just two. And the song I was most familiar with was from her first album, Smile.
Smile and LDN were both big hits off the first album.
Yeah.
And I mean, top 10, so I don't know.
Billboard. Big hits. Yes, yeah.
And there were a couple off this, The Fear in particular, which did chart fairly significantly.
Okay. Yeah.
But I think probably her biggest musical success was a cover of a Keane song.
Yes, of course, which was in the stop motion clip. Yes,
which was
Somewhere
one of the
only
most
we
gorgeous
know. It is great.
Short films I've ever seen.
But so that song's a cover, right? And despite that, the song I was most familiar with was Smile, which is much more, and I was reading this, that her first album in general is much more kind of on that reggae spectrum.
And there's a little bit of that sort of ska reggae.
Yeah, ska reggae,
to
yes.
It. Smile in particular probably is touching on that a little bit.
Yeah, and so I was never a huge fan of that song, and so I never really delved any deeper. So I can't say I was very familiar with Lily Allen at all.
I didn't know her first album or anything on it when I heard this album. I would have heard Smile and LDN just because they were sort of charting and I was vaguely listening to radio sort of shit back then. But to me, Smile was kind of blurred in with Lens, Steal My Sunshine, and a few other songs.
Oh, fuck, I love Steal My Sunshine. That song's fantastic.
It's good.
Yeah, yeah.
But I didn't know it was her. It just had a familiar sound. I came across this because she started appearing on talk shows and things like that, and I thought she was cute as fuck. I liked her attitude.
Yeah.
She's just didn't give a shit, and everything about her appealed to me at that age, and so I went out and sought the album out, and boom, there you go. So,
all right, well, here we go. Well, I messaged you earlier today, double checking that this was the album, and that was after I'd listened to it. But I thought the album was so shit. I was like, surely this can't be the album that Dave means. He can't think this is unskippable.
You're so cruel.
No, I'm kidding with you. I actually really, really, really enjoyed this album. Like, more than I was expecting it. I wasn't expecting to dislike it, but I liked it a lot. I think I feel about this album the way that you did about last week's Math and Physics Club album, where I don't necessarily say I would love every song, but I genuinely like every song, and I think this is probably the most consistent of the albums that you've given me. I love the style. It's very... I'm an unabashed pop fan. You know, like, my favorite bands of all time, The Luxmiths, The Cure, like, I love pop, a well-written pop song. I in every single one of my playlists, even my heavy rock metal playlist, I have... Call Me Maybe by Carly Rae Jepsen in it, because
how
I'm
good
never,
is that song?
Because I'm never not in the mood for it. It's a perfect
exactly.
pop song.
I have about four Carly Rae Jepsen songs on playlist.
Same. I was thinking I might even give you a Carly Rae Jepsen album at some point, but it seems like you're quite familiar with our queen.
Yeah. I know more Carly Rae Jepsen songs probably than my kids do.
Yeah. So I love a well-written pop song is what I'm trying to say. And I think that this album is full of them. I think from top to bottom, every song is a very well-written pop song, and whether or not I love all of them, I actually think I haven't listened to this album enough yet. I've only listened to it all the way through twice.
They're all catchy in their own way.
They are all catchy.
And I think she's a great lyricist.
She is.
It's not polished. It's all street talk, but it's clever street talk.
And I think similar to what you said about Math and Physics Club last week, I think the album's so consistent that at this point they are all running together for me a little bit. Even though they are quite different, but I'm going to keep listening to this album and check out some of her other stuff too, because I liked just about every track on it. I mean, I don't think... Yeah, there's not a single track that I would skip. We start with Everyone's At It, and that was my first... I was like, oh, okay, this is a lot poppier than I was expecting, because I was expecting more of that reggae ska feel.
Yeah.
I don't know much, but I know this for certain, and that is the sun poking its head round the curtain. Now please can we leave? I'd like to go to bed now. It's not just the sun that is hurting my head now. I'm not trying to say that I'm smelling of roses, but when will we tire of putting shit on?
It also surprised me, you know, like you say, you know, she's quite mouthy. I didn't know that. I knew very little about her. Like, obviously I knew that, you know, Fuck You was a bit of a hit, and I knew that song, but I was surprised to see that on this album, and I'm just going to double check it now.
I think you're going to have an explicit lyrics on about half the album.
That's exactly what I was just getting to. I was just double checking the number. I was really surprised to see that when I opened this album and saw the number of the little E's. I was like, wow, I was not expecting that. Like, you know, because it's unfair, but you see a female pop singer and you automatically go, okay, you know, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, you lump them in with that kind of... And Lily Allen is not that. She's a songwriter, not a pop star. Like, for me, it's... I don't know if you're
like
a Liz Phair fan.
A little.
Okay, so early Liz Phair was very indie, very crass, very crudely recorded. And then at one point, she recorded an album which was straight up pop. And she had one massive hit on it called Why Can't I? You might remember. Why can't I breathe whenever I think about... Yeah. And so someone asked, they were like, what were you thinking? This is so unlike you. And she was like, hey, a girl got to eat, you know, like put out a book, you know. And to me, that's kind of, I feel like Lily Allen is in that camp. She's just a songwriter, not a, some of her songs might have charted, but I kind of feel like that's more, I guess.
You can't look at this album and think at all that she went into it.
No.
Hoping that she'd have a whole bunch of top 40 singles.
Absolutely.
Because even the ones that don't have any swearing in them,
yeah,
just the subject matter on them is like, yeah, you don't give a fuck if people
Yes.
Play this on the radio.
And yet, despite the lyrics, they are so perfectly crafted pop songs. Like, the musicality of them is fucking great. They are earworms. They follow that kind of, you know, verse, chorus, bridge structure that we're familiar to with pop songs.
But the musicality... I was so surprised at the time to see that she... Everything on this is written by her. Yes, her producer's a credited co-writer, but... She brought him on, I think, a little bit late in the piece. I think most of the songs were at least semi-crafted already before he even came on. So this is all her.
I suspect that most of the... Because this is very electropop. You know, like I spoke about Everyone's At It. The Fear is the same. And I'll take my clothes off and it will be shameless because everyone knows that's how you get famous. I'll look at the sun and I'll look in the mirror. I'm on the right track, yeah, I'm on to a win. Wise, I would guess that would be where some of those other credits would come in.
Yeah,
I think that's where he came. Because there's a lot of instruments, there's a lot of synth, there's the arrangements
lyrics,
are very...
Lyrics, I think, are 100% her, and I think she's sort of had a... probably had general tunes in mind, and he's come through and sort of worked with her to... Because the production on this, I think, is beautiful. And that's obviously from a professional. You know,
so after those first two, and Not Fair, I loved Not Fair as well. I think that's a great track.
Any song that talks about I spent ages giving head and now I'm sleeping in the wet patch.
Yes. I think that is probably one of the strongest tracks on the album. Oh, he treats me with respect. He says he loves me all the time. He calls me 15 times a day. He likes to make sure that I'm fine. You know, I've never met a man who's made me feel quite so secure. He's not like all them other boys. They're all so dumb and immature. That's just one thing that's getting in the way. When we go up to bed, you're just not good. It's such a shame.
Have you seen the video for it?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen the videos for
any of them. The video, go YouTube it. The video for Not Fair is like a parody of Roy Rogers style cowboy stuff. She's in, they're all in full cowboy, because it starts with that kind of, it's a cowboy sort of theme. And the video is amazing.
I'm curious what your favorite track on this album is, because I don't think mine will be the same, and that's one thing I like about it, is that it's very diverse. Wow. I think most people would have a different pick for this.
I don't even know if I could pick a favorite. I love Fuck You. I love Never Gonna Happen. I love Not Fair. Probably Back to the Starts, maybe the other one that's in the mix there.
Yeah,
There's not a song on this that I skip.
I definitely need to re-listen, because after 22, and I like 22, after 22, I think I could say Back to the Start and Never Gonna Happen. They're three of the ones that really run together for me a bit, where I couldn't distinctualize them yet.
They'll differentiate over time, but I get that.
And obviously, Fuck You is great. I love a nasty song. I love them. I love them. Fuck you very, very much. Cause we hate what you do and we hate your whole crew. So please don't stay in time. Fuck you very, very much. Cause your words don't translate and it's getting quite late. So please don't stay in time. Do you get there's a great song by a woman called Sad Alex, who's, you know, it's in the title, she's sad, and she has a song called, it's like, Fuck You and Your Boyfriend Too, He's a Piece of Shit. Like, it's fucking great. It's really great. You should check it out.
I love a sweet song with filthy lyrics.
Yes, yeah.
There's an art to do, and I'm sure you would have seen it because it was an internet storm for a while, but there's a song called it's something like I've Got No More Fucks to Give or something, and it's I'll look it up and I'll flick you the YouTube clip, but it's he's all dressed up in like barbershop quartet sort of prim and proper oldie worldy. The whole thing's presented as something from, you know, the early 1900s.
Yeah,
but it's all I've got no more fucks to give. No fucks have all run dry, and it's something about the juxtaposition of all of the foul language with something.
Yeah, definitely.
That sounds prim and proper or sweet. Yep. Is beautiful.
My favorite track for the album and my pick for this week's playlist. And again, I actually struggled. I like a lot. I really, really liked Not Fair, and I considered that. I really liked the last track, He Wasn't There.
Yep.
I think those last two actually are really good kind of closing album tracks. Him surprised me, which is about God, but not godly.
I love the lyrics of that song. I think are amazing. Is his favorite band Creedence Clearwater Revival?
Yeah, yeah. It's a great track.
And if there is some kind of God, do you think he's pleased when he looks down on us? I wonder what he sees. Do you think he thinks the things we do are a waste of time? Maybe he'd think that we are getting on just fine. Do you think he's skin or financially secure? And come election time, I wonder who he'd vote for.
But my pick is Chinese. I don't know why.
It's nice.
It's a sweet song. It just it drew me in, and it's catchy, it's poppy, it's really
very
sweet.
Very English as well.
It is.
Just the phrasing.
The phrasing. We'll get a Chinese.
Get a Chinese, yeah.
It's not said anywhere else in the world. Like I really, really loved that track, and I think that that's probably my pick for the playlist this week.
Yeah, I can go with that. It wouldn't be my pick, but as I said, I have no down tracks on this album.
I'm the same. Exactly like you said about Math and Physics Club last week, I think this is the most consistent of the albums that you've given me. I think that, you know, at the moment they're running together a bit, but I liked every track. It's all kind of... It's running, weird, even though it's diverse, it's very stylistically one.
Well, the way I felt last week, yes, they're running together, but I'm not skipping anything. I don't care if they run together because I like it all.
Yes.
It may feel like a 30-minute track, but it's a 30-minute track I really like, so who gives a fuck?
Yep.
And they will differentiate over time, obviously.
Yep. So. And that's exactly how I feel. So, yeah, I'm 7.5 out of 10 on this album. I liked it, like I said, so much more than I thought I would. But yeah.
I'm not giving you shit I don't think you'll like.
No, I know. Well, I'm going to give you one next week that I'm really hoping you'll like. We're returning to Charlie Bliss territory, mate. You finally get to listen to their second album.
And I've been such a good boy. I have not even... I don't even know what the cover art looks like.
I've steered
well clear.
Yeah, I feel like I've held you off for long enough because, of course, that was our first episode of this and we're now up to episode... I think that'll be episode 11. So it's been nearly 3 months. So I'm giving you Charlie Bliss's Young Enough, which is, like I said at the time, very, very different. But... given what I've heard from, you know, Lily Allen and some of the other stuff you give me, I'm hopeful that you'll still enjoy it at least. I'm hoping as much as Guppy.
I mean, you know I like Guppy. I have no qualms about this. I know you're saying it's completely different, but I mean, surely not different enough that I'm going to dislike it when I like the first album so much. So
I mean, like I said at the time, Charlie Bliss is the first band that I've been like... obsessed with since, I mean, The Lucksmiths, The Cure, Math and Physics Club were another one. I love Charlie Bliss. And in fact, when you check out Young Enough, Also check out their new track they've just released.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You I remember you saying they just dropped something. Yeah.
And Noosk, even, who isn't a huge Charlie Bliss fan, she said to me the other day, I think this is the perfect pop song. She thinks it's...
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that too. So there you go. That's next week. But hey, we're on a run. But yeah, we are starting to run a bit dry. So maybe, I don't know how many... Like, do you have many more albums on your list?
I've got a lot of quote-unquote perfect albums. I might have to flick you a list and see... There's probably going to be... I think there'll be albums where you know maybe one song because it was a big hit, but you've never heard the album.
I think that's okay. Completely fair. 100%.
Because I have at least a few albums that are absolutely, I think, start to finish, banger, 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 banger. But...
I think that's totally
fair. At least
fair.
One song... Yeah. It's really well known.
Well, I've got albums exactly the same. I don't think there's a person on earth who hasn't heard Stacey's Mum. But I also think that there are not enough people who have heard the rest of Fountains of Wayne's fantastic discography.
I was about to say, who's saying that again? I know the song.
You know, most people would think
that's
of Fountains of Wayne.
The only Fountains of Wayne song I know.
Most people would think of them as a one-hit wonder. Even though they had six or seven albums, I think they're all fucking perfect. And Adam Scherzinger, who very sadly died of COVID 2 years ago.
Oh, fuck, really?
He was a prolific songwriter apart from Fountains of Wayne. He wrote all the music for That Thing You Do, the Tom Hanks movie.
Best thing about that movie was the music.
Yep, he wrote all of the music for Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, all of those songs. He's a fucking great pop songwriter. And Fountains of Wayne...
I've always lumped that song in with... Flagpole Sitter and The Middle by Jimmy Eat World, although I do know one or two other Jimmy Eat World songs, as these amazing songs by bands that I've never even bothered to go and listen to any of their other
shit. There you go. At some point, I'm going to make you listen to some Fountains of Wayne stuff because I'm a massive fan.
And I've got a list of albums that are probably far better known, but because you're that little bit younger, you wouldn't have grown up with them.
Yep.
And I'm now marginally confident that while there might be a song or two that you know... You've never listened to the album. There you go.
I'm assuming, have you ever listened to a Cure album? I'm sure you have.
I'll pretend you didn't say that.
What about the Eels?
Disintegration is the greatest album of all time.
You're a fan of the Eels?
Is that Novocaine for the Soul?
Yes. Yep. That's off
I know Soul that Jacket. Song. Couldn't tell you another one.
That was one of their very first songs. Okay.
I'm old.
We've definitely got some albums still to go. And then I guess when we run out, we'll see what happens after that. I still like the idea of doing a playlist-based show at some point.
I want to keep going with the idea of exposing each other to stuff we don't know.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think, the format might need to tweak a little bit because the whole... Perfect album.
In fact, I've been getting some ideas. My work every Friday does a different themed playlist just to play in the office. And some of them have been things I wouldn't even think about. Last week was songs with names in the title. And there were more than I would have thought. And I was like, that's a fun idea. You know, if we each come up with a list of, say, our five best songs with names in the title.
Gerald did something on the Peas about a year ago.
Yeah.
And it was either songs with names or songs where the entire title was just a name. It was something like that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because I remember spending a good day racking my brains trying to think of things to suggest for that.
Yeah. Another example, recently we did a playlist of The Seasons. And so, of course, I had to submit T-Shirt Weather by the Lucksmiths. You know, that's the fucking epitome of a seasonal
song.
Terry
Jackson's
In the Sun. Yeah. Or Blister in the Sun, another great one. So, I think...
Can't have enough songs about wanking. Long day, Green Day.
So we'll see what happens next. But, I think so far this is fun. And, yes, I don't think there's any problem with songs where there was, like, one big hit or one song I'll know. Because it's not about that. It's about the album.
100% know what I'm going to put for. I'll run it past you during the week. But I have 100% I have my top pick for next week.
Sweet. All right. Well, thank you very much, patrons, for listening. We hope you're enjoying this, and we will catch you next week with more Charlie Bliss, which I'm very excited about.
Meanwhile, go listen to some Lily Allen.
Completely ignored you.